twang, rockabilly twang history of the music industry right here in Phoenix, Arizona. That was our topic in the 7 o'clock hour. If you missed it, you want to go back and catch it. We had author and radio personality Mr. Jim West in for the entire hour talking about a book he wrote. The Phoenix Sound?
That's right.
Yeah, the Phoenix Sound, the history of twang rockabilly music in Phoenix.
You know what? I think Jim ought to create a CD to go with the book.
Yeah.
We had so much fun playing all the music.
Yes. Well, you're tuned in to Rosie on the House. We're here this Saturday morning. I'm in studio solo this morning. Boy, it's been a long time since that happened. Sweet Jennifer is in the call screener's booth. If you've got a project you're trying to tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin, we hope you'll give us a ring, whether it's maintaining the place or remodeling the place, a project you're trying to finish, a project you're thinking about starting, or a project that you're stuck in the middle of and or want to visit through what tools or products we would recommend to get that all wrapped up. Give us a ring. The number's toll-free. It's 1-888-767-4348. We have Romy, our roving reporter, who's out on the road this morning. And as the callers and the listeners give Jennifer a ring, let's go to Romy, see what Romy's got going on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Hey, bud.
Big, white, fluffy clouds just rolling over the sky at 67 degrees in Heber, Arizona for the Crawfish Festival.
Yeah, I was listening to you do some planning on that a little bit. Sounded like there were a lot of pre-sold tickets. Y'all anticipating a pretty good turnout today, huh?
Well, according to the number of pre-sold tickets, it's the most we've ever done. Had leading up to the festival, so we certainly anticipate it. There is coming up, there's some big event at what Camp T next to Christopher Creek. They've got 260 at a parking lot, and all traffic is east and westbound is in the westbound lane. And it's a parking lot on 260. I mean, literally a parking lot. So there's some big event, but that's not the festival. Just come past Christopher Creek, come past Willow Springs, come all the way through Heber into Overgarden. At the very end, when you see what looks like an old west town, that is the Bison Ranch. And we're in a big lawn courtyard surrounded on three sides by old west-looking buildings. We've got barbecue trucks starting their grills. We've got vendors setting up. The entertainers are on their way. And we're just about to light the pot to get the crawfish water boiling.
All right. What time is everything actually open up there today?
You know, there's really no time. It's an open public courtyard, so anybody can just walk through any time. But the festival, and tentatively we just say about 11 is when all the vendors need to be set up and ready to go and entertainers in place, and we'll start serving crawfish by noon.
Okay, crawfish by noon. How about if you didn't get a pre-sold ticket, a pre-purchase ticket?
There's a right by, there's a red dome, blow-up dome, that's over the serving dish. Right next to it is the ticket booth. And you just walk in and grab your crawfish ticket while supplies last, or just grab a festival ticket and meander around. A lot of people come. It might be one of the two spouses eats crawfish, and the other one enjoys barbecue. Not everyone likes crawfish, so you don't have to buy crawfish if you don't want them.
What else do y'all have going on other than the eating?
Well, of course, we've got the music playing. They'll start off at 11 o'clock, and then you'll start seeing the Taylor Family Circus start meandering in and around the crowd shortly afterwards. Anyone that's been to one of these before and have seen the very elegant face painting. That's the mom, Mrs. Taylor. The stilt walker's the dad, and his daughter and I believe son-in-law now are also still have learned in the trade and walk around performing in the circus costumes and performances. And then the live band starts usually around 3:30.
It's a great family event. It actually started, I can't remember when we did the first one. It's got to be about 12 years ago, doesn't it?
You know, I think the first trapping event was 2003.
In 2003. And it was, we were actually doing it as a favor to Arizona Game and Fish that were trying to find ways to control the crawfish in the waters of Arizona. And I said, well, man, if they're trying to control the crawfish in Arizona, why don't we just teach Arizonans how to trap crawfish, how to clean crawfish, how to cook crawfish, and how to eat crawfish? So we started the Crawfish Festival.
Make them a food source. That'll control the population.
There you go. Well, Romy, we'll check in with you throughout the rest of the broadcast this morning. So let us know. Be prepared to start explaining all the smells that you're going to smell next time we check in with you.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, man. Yeah. I remember the first Crawfish Festival. It was hilarious. I believe Governor Napolitano was in office. The gas line between Phoenix and Tucson busted somewhere around Gila Bend. And she told people, don't drive this weekend if you don't have to. That just happened to be the weekend we had scheduled to do the Crawfish Festival. And we had like 800 people show up. And the Forest Service showed up and said, who's in charge of this? And somebody pointed at me. And they were going to arrest me. They said, you can't have 800 people event without some extra J. Johns and some extra dumpsters. I said, man,
had no idea.
I thought 20 people would show up.
You didn't know you had so many Arizona best friends, did you?
Well, and then everybody got mad at us because we were serving samples of crawfish. I mean, people came up there and they thought we were going to serve them whole buckets, all you could eat crawfish.
And we had visions of standing on the shore and just teaching people, and hey, here's, you know, we're going to cook this together. No, we had 800 people. You have some calls already this morning. You want to
calls? We're here at Rosie on the House this morning just talking about it. It's funny, the Crawfish Festival has grown into what it is. It started by accident, and super cooling and Crawfish Festival are the two things people ask us about when they bump into us out in the public. Those are the two things. As a matter of fact, on super cooling, I got a text this morning from someone in a pretty big house, and they switched to super cooling. Just last month, they saved $150. In 1 month, they saved $150. So I said, okay, now do me a favor and take 10% of that and send it into Habitat for Humanity, and we'll try and get a Habitat house built with all the people, all the money people are saving with super cooling. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's bring John in, and we've got SK wants to talk about Pocket Door. But John, you're up first. As I take care of John, there is an open line if you'd like to jump on. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE, ROSIE, the number 4 and the letter U. 1-888-ROSIE for you. Good morning, John.
Hi, Rosie. I've got a question. I keep seeing these things on YouTube about putting a misting system on your AC unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know anything about that?
Yeah.
Is it a bad idea or what?
Well, here's the way air conditioning works. It takes the humidity out of the air. That's one of the ways it gives you a cooler feeling inside the house. If you stop to think about it, what they're trying to do is they're trying to lower the ambient temperature around the air conditioning unit under the theory that the air conditioning unit now will be working less hard. Well, if that's true, I mean, I can tell you that Houston is the most air-conditioned city in the world, and units don't last real long there because of the high humidity. I don't know why you would want to introduce humidity. And I've talked to the inventor. I've talked to the man. And I've talked to Trane and Lennox and American Standard engineers. And, John, they take you through these graphs of dry bulb temperature, wet bulb temperature. How are we trying to transfer the heat? I think if you just shade the unit, you'd be doing basically the same thing. I would not introduce a lot of humidity around my air conditioning unit with the idea it was going to help me on my bill.
Well, that sounds feasible to me. So that's good enough for me, Rosie.
All right. Yeah, the guy that invented it, it's like this hood that can go over the end of your air conditioning unit. He introduces the misting system, and it does cool the air, the ambient temperature air, and it sucks from the bottom, which is supposed to reduce the wet bulb temperature. It's a complicated conversation. Like I said, I've had it with all of them, and I've opted not to mount it on any of my systems. And I'm a big believer in misting systems. I got them on my back patio. I got them around my ceiling fans, and I love them out there, but not on your condenser compressor unit. All right, let's see if we can get to SK real quick. SK, I've got about 1 minute here. How can we help you this morning?
I'd like to know how simple it is to take out a pocket door.
Well, take it out. Are you taking it out to service it and repair it and put it back in?
Oh, I'd like to just take it out and forget it.
Okay. And is it going into a bathroom?
No, it's in the kitchen area.
Okay, it goes into a pantry?
No, it goes from the kitchen into the, a dining room area.
Interesting. And we're going to eliminate that pocket door and just put a jam wrap on it and let it just be a framed opening? Is that your...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, okay. But I'd like to widen it a little bit, you know, the area a little bit. Have it widen a little bit.
And are you at the house right now?
Yeah, I'm at the house right now.
Okay. I'm going to go on a break, and I want you to be prepared. Get a little piece of paper and a little pencil and sit down at the table next to that door. And when I get back, I'm going to talk you through elimination of the pocket door step by step.